One woman said that, I've heard it said that children are a gift from God. He said, but there are days you wish you could return them. There are days you wish you could return them for what her children did to her. And that's how they are. They will tempt you to say everything bad about them. But I thank God they will not make me fall for it. Sometimes, you know, they in fact, I know I have different kinds of children. Some of them do it with their mouth. Some do it with their actions. My daughter Mena does her own with her mouth. She will utter some things. Sometimes my wife will look like, if I catch you there. But no matter what you like, do or not do or say or not say, my mouth will not fall for it. Even if I want to flog you, I flog you with the incantation of the Lord. I bring out my cane. Bring me your bonbon. Children are the heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. It's a blessing that to have a quiver full of them. Therefore, since I have you, you are a blessing. His seed will be mighty on the earth. That's cane on your back. You confess the word of God. The foolishness bound here is hereby cast out in the name of Jesus. Because the Bible says that a rod will cast it far away from him. So we obey God. But you won't make me say you're a stupid child. No, it won't come out. This child, what will I do with you? I know what I'm going to do with you. You will serve the Lord. You will grow up in righteousness. You will be handsome. You will be beautiful. You will be intelligent. Righteousness is your portion. You will fulfill the purpose of God for your life. You will be very, very rich. You will help the poor. I catch my children telling lies. That's the worst sin in my house. You tell a lie. It's a worst sin. What does it say? This child, you're a liar. No, you know there are things. This child, you're not a liar. If you're a liar, you should lie, right? So if you're a liar, you should lie and not get punished because you're walking according to your nature. Why do I punish you? Because you are not a liar. And you've now told a lie. So we should realign you to your true nature. Have you ever seen somebody get angry with a pig for being dirty? This pig, I just bath you, finish. Dirty like this. See a dog lying down on the floor. What's the big deal? You should lie down on the floor. You're a dog. See a goat eating grass. Say, don't you know it will eat your mouth? There are things you don't say. It's proper. The guy should eat the grass. But when you now come, you see your child just give a bath, find Sunday dress, lies on the floor. You have to realign that one. So when you find a child misbehave, you don't affirm it by saying you're a misbehave. What's the qualification? What's the adverb? What is it now? What's the English term? Don't tell me when I do English that it's the adverb now. Anyway, adjective, whatever. You are a misbehaver. That's what I'm trying to get. You don't affirm it. He said, no, you are not supposed to misbehave like child. You are a Jesus boy. Are you getting my point? And you deliver the dose of, the correction that is appropriate. If it's by mouth alone, you say it. If it needs the rod to make it wet and sharpen into the heart of the child, you add it. But you will never fall for affirming the words of Satan in that child's life. You must never. That's the lesson. Everything in life is what? It's a temptation. You have a headache, say, hey, I hope it's not migraine. Which is hope? It's not migraine in it. Talk to it now. You arrange the incantation that is appropriate for the moment. That's what I'm going to explain. You arrange the one that is appropriate for the moment. Listen, now when you are reading the scriptures, new assignment, that's the one for the day. Read it with the mind. Now, you know, there are different ways to read the scriptures. There's reading you want to know, you know, just for knowledge. Are you getting my point? Just for knowledge, okay. Who killed who? Was it David that killed Goliath or Goliath that killed David? You know, it's good to know who killed who. All right? So that is one way of reading. That's one way. There are ways you read, all right, to know your right in Christ. We're taught that one as young Christians, to know what is yours in Christ Jesus. You read like that. There are different ways to read the scriptures. But I'm adding one for you now. Read it with the intent of knowing which appropriate words to use for which situation. That's what I'm adding to it. Read it with the attitude that which words are right, which words are correct. Like I told you, that it was yesterday morning or the other day. And I just woke up early. I picked up my tab to read the Bible. So I just said, let me read from the book of Psalms. And I was going through it. I said, wait, oh. If I don't like somebody, I can enjoy him from here. Now, I'm not saying I should do that regularly. Are you getting my point? But while reading, I just found out that these are weapons of war. You know, let me just say this, all right? Christians are good people, amen?
Amen.
They are very good people. If you are a good person, say amen.
Amen.
Christians are more righteous than God, amen? You change your mind? Okay, I now you understand what there's no way I'm going there. Christians, sometimes they behave as if they are nicer than God is. They're always praying for every sinner to repent. Some sinners should die. You see, Pastor Mark, please explain now. Please explain. I'm not saying you should mention names, though. I said, this one, Lord, let him die. No. But you must give occasion to both. If he will not repent, is that not in the Bible? The Lord will sharpen his sword. Why are you not saying, God, if they don't repent, blunt your sword? That is ungodly. You are trying to be nicer than God is. You are saying to God, even though they don't repent, dull your sword. Don't kill anybody. I was listening to this man the other day, and the woman, he said something that was very interesting. He said that there was one young man, the guy backslid, you know, was a good Christian, then he moved away. Started doing drugs, moving around, doing all kinds of stuff. They were praying for him. So one day he went to see the guy, like, how far? I said, I'm fine. And come back to church, said, for what? I feel good. I feel all right. So he went back and said, what's going on? The nonetheless, they have been praying for him wrongly. They have been praying for him that God will keep him in peace and bless him. So the guy said, they changed gear. So, all right. They changed the gear. You will see now. He said, Lord, every piece he has, destroy it. Next time, Adrumwa came. Hey, what did you guys do to me? I've not been able to sleep. Say, good, now come back to church. What are you talking about? You've been praying for God to bless you in your backsliding state. No, if you don't reconcile with God, you will never be happy. You will never have peace. That's what I'm saying. That's what I mean by Christians are not supposed to be nicer than God is. They're not supposed to be kinder than He is. They're not supposed to be more righteous than He is. You must always give room for the wrath of God. Because when you don't, you allow evil to remain without being judged. I'm not saying you mention names and start killing people. Say this one, you will die. I didn't say so. But you must make room for it. Like he said, if he will not repent, in this country we start praying that prayer. Lord, if he will not repent. Why I'm going to do that is that, listen, anything you are doing in life, you are doing business, you are doing politics, places where there are adversaries. If you are a true believer, listen, it is not your duty to go and say, no matter whether they want to kill me or not kill me, God just have mercy on them. That's not Christianity. Paul said, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. May God pay him back according to his works. And that's what you have to understand. You must know how to pray prayers effectively. You know, sometimes they talk in Nigeria that, I have seen people, you know, sometimes when Americans write on how to do business in countries like ours, I thank God for their writing, you know, and I enjoy it. I recommend the books. But sometimes I feel like, I thank God, Sha, amen, that they don't understand what Nigerian businessmen have to go through sometimes. That's Christians. Even though what they are saying is theoretically sound, how to apply it practically is often not there for the typical Nigerian. I mean, in fact, there's a book my wife was reading recently. I read a bit of it, and the guy described how P&G, all right, shut down their production for a few months in an African country. Didn't mention the name of the African country, but I have this suspicion may have been my own African country. But he was writing the book. How? Because they refused to pay a government official some bribes to allow their goods that were coming in to be released. And of course, you know the way it is. All right? So he was talking about it like, look, like that was the right thing to do. You know, so they didn't mind. They shut down the factory. Now, I'm not going to discuss that now, all right? Because there is a difference between bribery and being extorted. There's a world of difference between giving a bribe and somebody extorting you. Do you get my point? Now, if a thief were to carry a gun, shoot into the air, give me your money. No, you find out there's another scripture for that. Give to all that ask of thee. Just you give him and you keep moving. Now, the gun sometimes is not metal with a bullet inside. Sometimes the man who wants to ruin a whole business that's feeding thousands of people and all of that, and he's just an arm robber. It's not bribery. You're not saying that I'm supposed to pay 1,000, let me give you 500. No. I'm not supposed to pay any money. Say, guy, good, I'm not going to sign anything. Now, there are different ways to handle it. There are different ways. Please, I want to understand this. It is not, let me just say this so people understand. That is not the same thing as being bribing somebody. It's not the same at all. That's extortion. A bribe perverts the way of justice. A bribe, turns what is wrong into what is right. That's what it does. But extortion is a different matter. What Jesus said about extortion is that if they say to you, go with me 1 mile, go with him two. This is how I apply it. Those days when, okay, after I learned this kind of thing, you're on the highway. Policeman stops you and says that your chassis number is supposed to be 5532448. That this your 8 looks like is faded a bit. As officer, I can see it clearly, it is 8. From the angle, Sergeant, come. What do you think of this? They're in league now. So no, be three, but that's a hand. Thank you. The argument goes on. Are you getting my point? That is the go with me 1 mile. So such a time, when the man says, okay, before I let you go, give me 100 naira. Jesus said, give him 200. Yeah, that's what Jesus said. Give him 200. It's different from that's not bribery. That's extortion. That's a kind of armed robbery. He's armed. He's not armed. He's armed. That's one way. That's one way. You understand my point? Now, but the one I'm talking about, that's where I want to get to. There are different ways, I'm telling you. There's another one in which sometimes God commissions people to generate wrath against other people. The man will just say, I'm not going. I'm not paying you. I'm not giving you money. And it's God's commission. That one is God said, go and give me concubine. And what God is doing there is building up anger against that man. God does that also. Because if a factory is supposed to run, all right, and you say it must not run because you want to collect money by force, that is extortion. The boss can decide, okay, take, go away. The factory runs. But then if God wants to punish that fellow well, you say, factory will not run. The boss says, yes, let it not run. Then about 50 husbands with wives and children working there will not get salary for the next 2 months. Then when children do well for night, all their anger, the wrath of God is coming to your house. So if that man had given it to you, you should thank him. Say, thank you, sir, for preventing God from sending some people. That's what God does to them. He said, don't give him. Why? I want all these children to cry. If they cry for 2 consecutive nights, I will have built up enough indignation against him and his family. That's not a joke. I mean that literally. I'm not laughing. That's another way. But the way I'm talking about today, you see, different ways. Though. The one I'm talking about today is the one that Christians have to step into that gear. You tell the man, no, if I told one brother the other day, I said, do it to him. That happened in Benin. I said, do something like this. You guys call a prayer meeting on people like this. And tell the Lord, we'll give this guy 24 hours to repent. He doesn't repent, sharpen your sword against him. That is the one I'm teaching tonight. Christians have to step into that. After a while, people will say that. Who are those people? I beg, release your goods, church people. You want that? I beg, go. The last guy that did it, go ask, what happened to his son? That is, they will start telling stories about what happens. And I'm saying to you directly today, at such times, it's not time for mercy prayer. We want to manifest destiny. We want to increase productivity in the land. A man says that, no, the container won't come out until I give him $500,000, which he does not deserve. I have paid what I'm supposed to pay. I have done everything. I will say, sir, listen to me. I like what Bishop Edipo said. He said that he will tell you, if I give you this money, it's leprosy for life. Tell the man simply, say, that $500,000 I don't have. And I will not borrow it for you. But I want you to know, I will not eat until God punishes you. You know, in the Bible, some men say that until we have killed Saul, we're not eating. Tell the man, say, listen, I'm going back home, but God, listen, I know you're a customs officer. I'm going back home to go and pick up a power that the type that you don't understand. And I'm saying to you, me and my brethren, we will not eat any pleasant food. Put that word pleasant, so that in case it's going to be long, you will survive. Don't use words that will make the man go and report to police that you are threatening his life. You know that kind of thing. Yes, no, use spiritual words. Tell him, listen, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, and I will avenge. I am going home to ensure that God does not rest until he has avenged me on this matter. Like he said, if you will not repent, read for you. Thank God for phones, you know, smartphones. Quickly scroll to Psalm 4. Sir, listen to this. You read it for him. Where did we just now? Is it 4? 7. 7, sorry. Yes, you read to him. He said, the Lord judges the peoples. No, before you even get there, earlier on, there's one where he said that God, the one about the sword now, where is it? All right, okay. Tell the man that God said that he's the judge of the peoples. And in verse 12, he says, if a man does not repent, he will sharpen his sword. No, and when I say it's not a threat, it's not idle threat, say, let the man fear. Let him not fear. It's good he doesn't fear. So that somebody may be made an example. It's good he doesn't fear. It's good he doesn't fear. Bishop Edeko told stories. He said when he was in Kaduna, one day they came and served him notice that they should move their church. You know the way Islamic persecution, move their church from where it was. So he looked at the person who brought the letter and said that they gave him 7 days. So told the person, say, tell them in 7 days they are all dead men. So that one risked it. Came back. He said, excuse me, I just need to explain something. I'm actually a messenger. I'm not amongst those. I'm actually a messenger. I just deliver a letter. He said, got another letter like that one day. They just finished an all-night prayer meeting. According to him, the anointing was hot on his head. He looked at it and I said, why should this man kill himself? And the man died. Just look at the letter and say, why should this man kill himself? And the man died. I'm done explaining the principle. My time is almost up. All right, we'll get back to what I want you to continue next time, all right? Now, so this is the point I'm trying to make. Like I said to you, I just want to emphasize it to Christians again. This is what this cult thing is about. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. Forget that we're using the word cult. That's what Christianity is. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. You must understand that Christianity has more power than Ogboni people have. In fact, to be saying he has more power is an insult. It's like saying that me as I am, I have more power than the cockroaches in my house. Do you understand my point? Yeah. It's not nice. No, these are not statements to make. Just kill the cockroach, you know, and forget it. But then you start saying that I have more power than you. You know what I'm saying? That means you have cockroach phobia. Are you getting my point? Yes. You need to have cockroach phobia to make certain statements. Otherwise, normally you don't look. Where's that cockroach? You don't run. You stamp it. And then you continue talking with your wife like nothing happened. Nobody died. Nothing happened. Are you getting my point? In fact, if you leave it long enough, ants will come and help you gather the corpse and go and bury. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. So in the same manner, when I say Christians have more power, there's more power in Christianity than Ogboni, it's an insult. It's an insult. It's an insult. Honestly, it's an insult. It is an insult. But just that we have to say it because people don't know it. I wanted to just understand. So the problem is that Christians don't realize that the same way people will gather in a cult and say they want to place a curse on people. Listen, those people should be afraid that if we gather and... No, it's not a joke. I don't know why I told this story before. This one, somebody who was in the meeting gave me the testimony. I know one of the brothers who was... In fact, the guy who championed that meeting. When they were in school, you know, one girl who was a girlfriend to a cult member, you know, this small boy cult on campus, gave her life to Christ. And the guy was harassing her. And the girl was trying to run away from him, and he wouldn't leave her alone. So she came and reported him to the brethren in their fellowship. And so those just called the small prayer meeting on his head. Next day, he wanted to go and buy medicine. A car coming from Lagos cleared him and killed him. The girl was free. I'm not joking, no. Don't think you're... Look, listen. Listen. Now, men will not vex for people, though. Now they talk. No, I'm serious. And Christians don't use this thing. They don't. And when you get to a country like this, we have to put some things in gear. This is not a normal meeting. We are not nice people. We are godly people. There's a world of difference between being nice and being godly. There's a world of difference. There's a world of difference. And I want Christians to understand that you can't be nicer than God. I was talking, that illustration I'm giving, three different ways you can handle those kind of people. The third way, we have to add that one to it. And you start telling people, say, sir, you are playing with something that is dangerous. So I have gone to discuss this thing with my prayer warriors. Yes, you tell them, look, my brethren, my fellow prayer warriors, we have discussed this matter. I have paid what is right. If you release our container, release our goods, we won't say anything. If you come to the factory and beg us one day, we'll give you a bag of rice free. But if you want to sit down here and say, because God gave you authority, I will give you a scripture. He said, guard thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, and ride down prosperously and with majesty for the cause of truth. He said, let thy right hand teach you terrible things. You give that kind of incantation, any man will not fear, he should die fast. Because the sound of it alone should make any man with an iota of godliness in him to repent. Anyone who doesn't still fear after that, then he said, God, I'm sorry. You can have him. I'm talking about the power on this thing. That's what I'm trying to explain. The problem a lot of us Christians have is that we have not even understood righteousness ourselves. That's what the problem is. So it's difficult for us to stand, you understand, and judge. In that sense. That's the problem. Please, I want us to understand the power of Christianity. When we take these scriptures, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. Whoever has the Son, the Bible says, has life. So you already have life. So when you open the scriptures, it is the life of God in you that is talking. It's not as if we have incantations that anybody can learn. The Bible is available for everybody to buy and read. But to make those words life, they must indeed have totally, truly given their lives to Christ. And then they take any of these words and use it. It means exactly what it says. When God says, I will contend with them that contend with you, that's an incantation. It is. Tell any Christians who's joining politics, they say they are going to this, they are going to shrine. Tell the person, don't worry, you just go to church. I don't know whether I get the point. That is your own shrine. Go to where? Church. I don't mean church building. No. There's a difference between church building and church. When I say church, gather brethren. Gather people. Gather people. No, something happened the other day. Let me just give you as a testimony, then I close. Last time I told you I was traveling, my flight was supposed to be at, what time was it? 9 p.m. Okay? And so we reasoned. The flight out of Enugu to get to Lagos was around 1 o'clock. So the reasoning was, if you take that flight and they cancel it, we are stranded in Enugu. That's it. I won't be able to go anywhere. So the logic was, okay, go early. Okay, I wanted to preach on Saturday here before going. So I preached on Saturday, left 6 o'clock next morning with AutoStar. The guy who sat beside me in the bus said that it was later on when we got to Lagos, said, don't do it again. Because me, I've not gone on that road in a very long time, so I didn't understand. They said the road was so bad that those who were coming, you leave Lagos at 6 a.m., you get to Enugu maybe 11 p.m., that it was a regular thing. I did not know. And when I got, when we first got to Benin, I knew there was a problem. Because on the bypass in Benin, I spent like 30 minutes at one particular spot. What I'm telling the story is of the matter of go to church. That's why I'm telling the story, when I say go to church. What happened was that when I got to that point, and I realized what time it was. By that time, it was past 10. We're still in Benin. And then Jesus now started in the vehicle. This one happened when I was coming. Hey! like I was essentially prophesying that you will not get to Lagos till 10 p.m. where you're supposed to have been in the airport by 8, you know, those kind of things. I said, God in heaven. I just took my phone. This is why I'm calling Go to Church. I have a chat group of my local brethren. You understand? I just said, brethren, and they knew I was traveling. I wanted to attend a particular program, and they knew I was going. I said, brethren, I'm on my way to the airport. I'm in Benin. I heard the road is blocked. Please pray. Clear the road with prayer. I just sent the messages out. So brethren were just replying, don't worry, you will get there, you know, stuff like that. And in Jesus' name, we'll get there. Amen. So I was believing them, believing the word of God. When we got to Ore, the driver decided to stop. People ate. Now, this is the point I'm making. When I saw the line of cars, you know, when you enter into a queue of cars, and all the lorry drivers, the bus drivers, they've left their vehicle. They've gone into the bush to go and do different things. You know what I'm saying? Some have taken a long stroll. Then you know that these guys are not in a hurry to leave here. You may be in a hurry to get to Lagos, but I now understood why I had to send to my brethren to pray. Let me make a long story short so we can go home. There's just one part of the story I'll tell you. It got to a point. Now, the guy sitting beside me missed his first Sienna, one of the Siennas he paid for. Oh, let me just quickly tell you this. When I got there, I wanted to pay for that Sienna or another one. On the phone, they booked it for somebody else while I was standing there. So I had to enter another bus. This is the gist. You see all those Siennas, all those people that left before us, we left them inside the holdup. Because what happened was that as we were going at a point in time, see the long queue of cars. You know the way it is. We've been on that road. No movement. The thing was crawling after some time, bit by bit. Then suddenly, see, they are constructing the road. So on one side, they were walking. So at that point, they just opened the place where they closed. That was just about five or less than 10 cars in front of me. So our line just moved into that. All those who left before us were locked in a grid that was kilometers long. We behind them, we just turned into that. See speed. You know, they just finished this. Phew, phew, phew. Man, that got us out of the worst spot. There were still some holdups on the road, of course, but finally, I entered Lagos by 4 p.m. If I had enough time to go to Luth, go and freshen up, change my clothes. My brother came because he had my passport. He brought it for me and all of that. And then, you know, then he and the other guy now took me to the airport. We got there, I mean, properly on time. And that's when the guy beside him was telling me that, I don't know, in the course of the year, I said, oh boy, I get flights out of this country by 9 o'clock. He said, eh? And you enter this vehicle. He said, don't do it again. Now, why I told the story is the issue of when I say, they are going to shrine, you go to church. I just took the man and sent to my brethren and said, brethren, I'm on the way. The road is blocked. Pray and get me to Lagos. And they said, no problem. You will get there. You will get there on time. They were sending words of encouragement, sending things like that. I was reading it. And as we're moving, I could almost see the angels, you know, say, you wait, let them pass. I could almost, you know, in my mind's eye, I could almost see it. Those who left Enugu before me, what those guys estimated is that those guys will not get to Lagos if they are fast, maybe 2 hours after us, if they are quick. That many who left before us got there after us. Why? Because I went to church. That's what I mean by church. I don't mean go to a church building. That's why you need Christians as friends. Those who know God. Not those who know how to beg allergies. Those who know God. Who say, if it is too much, let us go and gather and let us go and pray. Listen, no. If you are talking about joining cult, tell them, say, the one where I enter is the hottest, most potent. Hottest, thickest, tightest, most potent. Please, if you want to join a cult, this is the one to join. No? Next time you say an unbeliever, say, give your life to Christ. I'm not saying that, please be a nice guy. Come and enter are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. What's my message today? Please listen. This is what prayer is for, part of it for us as Christians. You are going to change the business world. There are adversaries out there. You are going to change politics. There are adversaries out there. You are going to change your nation. There are adversaries out there. No matter what you are going to change in this life, there are adversaries out there. You are not there to go and be fighting somebody with gun and bullet and physical fight. No. You are there to use the real potent power of God, which is available to everybody that has life in Christ. It is a manifestation of the life of God. When the life of God goes out, it blesses those who are ready for blessing. And you know what it does to other people? When Jeremiah began to preach, he just began to preach. He didn't say anything serious. He didn't say, you know, go better for anybody, we don't like me. Nothing like that. He just began to preach. One man just dropped and died. So then even Jeremiah was alarmed. He ran back and said, God, what's going on? I said, nobody begin preach. All he began to say was, thus says the Lord. Just began to preach. So I want you to know, when you wake up in the morning, you don't have to know. You know, many of your enemies that God will ice for you, you won't even know the guy was your enemy. You thought he was your friend. So as long as you just wake up every day, you take the book of the incantations of the Lord and you begin to utter it. Let's rise to our feet just for as we share the grace. Let's just take this. We use this one all the time. Let's just do it just for a minute and then we're out of here. Everybody declare, say, the Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
I shall not want.
Say, the Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
All my needs are supplied.
All my needs are supplied.
The Lord is my shepherd. I follow after righteousness, and all things are added to me. So he makes me lie down in green pastures.
He
leads me beside quiet waters.
He restores my soul.
For this reason, I have a sound mind.
For this reason, I am not confused.
Say, my steps are ordered by the Lord. Listen, say,
my steps
are ordered by the Lord.
He makes me walk in the path of
destiny. You see, I began to preach that thing last Saturday. I'll finish it next Saturday. That God has ordained a certain path for you. And as long as you are in your heart just walking with him, he will just make you walk in the path that he ordained, even though you could not even see the road. So it's very important you declare it every day. Your life is not an accident. I say it every time. The people you will meet are ordained by God. There are those that come to tempt you. God put them there to see whether you fall for temptation. And when you don't fall for it, he lifts you up to another level. Are you getting my point? Listen, when they decline, they refuse you a job, don't be angry. It was not your own. Because that which is yours, nobody can take it away from you. That which is yours, I say it again, nobody can take it away from you. Therefore say it, my steps are ordered by the Lord.
I am led by his
spirit. Said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death,
I fear no evil.
For the Lord is with me. Only with my ear I will hear the reward of the wicked.
No evil will befall me.
No plague will come near my dwelling.
Say,
he prepares a table before me.
In the presence of my enemies.
He has anointed my head with oil.
That means I have divine enablement.
I have the strength of God in me.
I can do all things.
Listen to this. Say it again. I can do all things.
Even if they say there's poor power supply.
Say it.
I can build my industries.
Because I can do all things.
Say it. I'm a blessing to this nation.
I'm a blessing to this nation.
I'm a blessing to my environment.
I'm a blessing to my society.
I am a blessing to my friends.
I'm a blessing to everyone I meet.
I'm a blessing to the work of God.
Add this one. I'm a blessing to my pastor.
When I get to a church, I'm not the troublemaker. That's what I'm going to make.
I'm not one just there criticizing. I'm a blessing. Everywhere I go, I am a blessing. I am a blessing.
That is, you declared, I am, say it again, I am a blessing.
I have been blessed to be a blessing.
All my needs are met.
I have abundance to help other people meet their own needs.
Say it, I am a giver.
I am not a beggar.
I am a giver to life.
I'm a giver to this nation.
I'm a giver to my office.
I'm a giver to my friends.
I'm a giver in my family.
I am not a beggar.
You know, the other day I was talking with my friends. You know, most human beings just love to beg needlessly. And it's an attitude. It's not just about asking for something, it's an attitude.
My friends and I were just the other day, they live in the US, that a lot of Nigerians have a mentality. So one guy told his friend, why are you suffering like this? Your brother is a doctor in America. That is,
That's supposed to be the right for me to collect anything I want. I don't have to be a blessing. But God taught me something long ago. That is long ago. And that's been my attitude from time. No, and I thought to myself, I said, it's been my attitude from time. Forever. I say I'm a giver, I'm not a beggar. It's not whether I have plenty, that's not this, an attitude. You buy a car, I buy you fuel. I won't tell you come and wash it for what? With all this suffering, wait, don't suffer to buy the motor. I lie. So you buy a car, I buy you fuel. You are building a house, I give you a ton of cement. I don't have that is, I was buying fuel for people when I didn't have a car of my own. Why? Because I'm what? A giver. Is an attitude. It's an attitude. When you walk around in life, you don't get the office. How much are they paying me here? No. If I leave here, let them feel that somebody left. That's how we behave in this, our own cult. You get my point? We are not there to come and collect. We are there to build ourselves so we can give. We are givers. It's an attitude. We are givers. Even as a young boy, a young girl with your parents, you can be a giver. You can do it such a manner that when you leave, your parents are feeling bad. This boy goes to school, but I know he has to make progress. But when he's around, they are the one paying the fees. Say it again, I'm a giver.
I am a giver.
I am not a beggar.
I am not a beggar.
Say it, it makes all grace abound towards me.
I have all sufficiency in all things.
And I abound to every good work.
And I abound to every good work.
He says, surely,
goodness
and mercy,
loving kindness
will follow me all the days of my life,
and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Let's just give the Lord thanks. Just say, Father, we thank you. Just give him thanks.